Okay, so we're moving a couple weeks back before Purim. We started Birchas Kriyashma. We went through most of the beginning of the of Hamayel Aretz. We're going to pick up with the Pasuk of Kelber Yevaldeya, which is a Pasuk that starts the order of the Aleph Beis, the first word being Kel, and every word thereafter begins with the succeeding letter until we come to the word Tamid, which completes the entire Aleph Beis in its proper sequence. And this tefillah is structured as a ladder that rises from the physical world and leads directly upwards to the spiritual world. So we say, Kel Baruch Gadol Deya. The first step on the ladder describes Hashem as the one who created human beings on earth and has given them Deya, as we say, Atachonin Lodam Das. And here we address Hashem as the one from whom all intelligence originates. He's the Gadol Deya, the one with the supreme knowledge. We then say, Hei Chenufal, Zarechama. The rungs of this ladder now rise from earth to our solar system, in which Hashem has planted our sun to shine on all its planets. Tov Yotzar Kavod Lishmo. We now climb even yet higher on this ladder. We gain an overview of the entire physical universe with all of its heavenly bodies. And according to Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, the word Tov is a metaphor for all of creation. And the phrase means he formed all this goodness as glory for his name. And this corresponds to the saying of Chazal, the Kol Mashibora, Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, Lo Baro Lachvodo, everything Hashem created in this world was only for his kavod. And the word kavod does not mean honor, but it means glory, because Hashem in his perfection has no need for honor. And what we're saying is it's an affirmation that he exists. He makes his presence known by the virtue of his creations. Ma'oros nosan svivos uzo, the concept of a hidden creator is so elusive that the only way one can recognize Hashem exists is only through his creations. And when we look at the multitude of the billions of luminaries in the universe, we recognize that obviously a most powerful creator must have brought it all into existence. Pinos Savom Kdoshim Romeshakai, we continue up the ladder, we pass through the solar system, we've gone through this entire starry physical universe, and we've reached now the metaphysical, the spiritual world of the Malachim. And only the Malachim can truly comprehend the meaning of Shakai as the name of Hashem, in which he reveals himself as having completed his creation of the universe, where he said, "Sha'omar le'olam odai," he told his world, it's enough. However, we human beings have only a limited view of the creation. And when we look at the universe through the mighty telescopes, we see what appears to still be an expanding universe, with galaxies moving away from each other. And this is so because what we observe today is how the universe looked during the 6 days of creation. However, we cannot really observe what's really going on at this moment. We cannot see the universe in its completed state of the Dai. Only the Malachim have this overview. Tamin Misaprim Kavod Kel Kedushaso. We've marked the tuff of the Aleph Beis, representing the pinnacle of our ascent on this ladder, which spans the distance between the human material world and the spiritual world. And the Malachim who exist in that spiritual world live forever. And thus, they're able to constantly tell of His glory, of the Almighty and His holiness. However, these spiritual creatures have no free will. They're compelled by the nature of their being to function the way Hashem created them. The Malachim were created in order to express Kavod Kel Kedushaso, and they can do no less. At this point in the Tefillah, we shift back to human beings, who, unlike Malachim, were endowed by Hashem with free will. We can study nature through a microscope or a telescope, and we can recognize Hashem as the creator of the world. And we can then be mekabel ol malchus shemayim with our own free will. And this brings us to an even higher level than those of the previously referred malachim. Therefore, the human point of view, we say, Tisparach Hashem olkeinu al shevach ma'asi yadecha v'al ma'ori ersher sisa yifarucha sela. We, with our bechira chavshis, our free will, we have chosen you as Elokeinu. And therefore, our praise of you is on a higher level than those of the spiritual beings and the physical heavenly bodies which you created, who have to, in their very nature, praise you with your glory. Now, this pasuk that we just said refers to all human beings. The next pasuk refers specifically to Klal Yisrael, whose point of view they have a special relationship with Hashem. As we say, Tisparach Tzureinu Malkeinu V'Goaleinu Barakidoshim Yishtabach Shimchala Malkeinu. We've accepted Hashem as our king. We've used our free will, our choice, to accept as Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yotzim Rishorsim, these are the servants, include different types of malachim, some which we know as the Ofanim, the Chayos, the Srafim, Keruvim, The Yerach HaShulchan quotes Tosus and says the Mesharsim are really a group of special malachim that Hashem creates on a daily basis from the river Dinar with the purpose only to say Shirat Hashem. And when they fulfill this purpose, they cease to exist. And it's based on the Pasuk the Yerach HaShulchan and Tosus bring in Eicha of Chadoshim Labakarim, that they're anew each morning. And Rav Shimon Schwab says the Mesharsim include the Tzaddikim who lived in this world with the hope that after their neshamas would be transferred by Hashem from this world into the world of Olam Haba, that their neshamas would be placed near the Kisei HaKavod next to the Malachim. And this would be a fulfillment of the words in Kedusha in which we express our desire to emulate the Malachim and come close to Hashem as we say, Nekadesh, Shimcha Ba'olam, Kishem Shemakdishim, Oso B'Shmei Morom. We want to make Hashem's name holy in the world as the Makdishim do in the Shmei Morom. And this means that we have the desire to sanctify Hashem in that same way that the Malachim do in heaven. Whereupon we then say Kadosh Kadosh. And during Kedush and Shemona Esrei, we symbolize that desire to emulate the Malachim by raising ourselves up from the ground while saying these words of Kadosh Kadosh, similar to the flying motion of the Malachim described in Yeshaya. We then say Vashem Rishursov, Kulam Omdim, Vrum Olam, Mashmim B'Yira, Yachab Kol Dibra Elkim Chayim, Melch Olam. And again, this includes the Malachim and the Neshamos of the Tzadikim. Rav Mordechai Potash says that the Mesharisav refer to the specific Malachim that constantly serve Hashem, like Gavriel and Michal. Kulam Ahuvim, they all love each other. Notwithstanding the difference between these two groups, there's a mutual love between them. Both the Malachim, who never knew what sin is, and the Neshamos of the Tzadikim, who have encountered sin and overcame it, or her Bali Tshuva, through their own Bechira, have united for one purpose. Kulam Berurim, Kulam Gibayrim, they're all pure and were given the same powers by Hashem. V'chulam Osim Be'em over Yiritzon Konam. And all of them carry out the will of their Creator in awe and fear. V'chulam Poschim Espihem, Bekdusha V'tahara B'shira V'zimra, M'varchim M'shavchim M'farim, Ma'aritim Makdishim Ma'amlichim. And then this combined group of exalted spiritual beings joined together, and they all open their mouths in holiness and purity with these 10 expressions of praise to Hashem. And Maritzim, or Shimon Schwab just points out, means all-powerful. And we continue and say, Hashem HaKel HaMelech HaGodol HaGibah V'Ner Kodeshu. This is a continuation of the previous Amlichim. And one has to be careful that when he pauses between Amlichim and Hashem in order that it doesn't sound like he's saying the word mace. Because the mem from Amlichim and the S, the Aleph from the S, will go together. And it sounds more that we're then killing the Shem HaGadol as opposed to accepting it and praising it. And then these two groups of spiritual beings accept upon themselves the rule of heaven, and they harmoniously accept each other's invitation to sanctify their Maker. Each of the groups have an advantage in their level of Kedusha that the other does not. Nevertheless, they harmoniously grant their counterparts permission. Lahakdish liyotzram benachas ruach. This refers to the world where everything is calm. It's, as we say, koras ruach b'olam haba, spiritual bliss in the world to come. And as Chazal tell us, yafa sha'achas shal koras ruach b'olam haba, mikol chayim b'olam hazeh. One moment of this korach ruach in the next world is better, is greater than an entire life in this world. And then we say, b'safa v'ruv v'nima, Kedusha kolm kiachad onim v'omer b'yira, with a purified language and a sweet melody, together in awe, they all proclaim the words of holiness. Then of Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Moloch Ol Eretz Kevodo, which is the beginning of the Kedusha, the Yeshiva. And we continue and say, V'ofana mechayis HaKodesh, Barash Gadol, Mesnatzim, La'asarafim, L'umasim, Shabchim, Yomim, Baruch Kevod Hashem, Imkomo. And there are three times that we incorporate these psukim into our davening. The first is here in Berachos Kriyas Shema, this Brach of Yotzer. As we said, it's called the Kedusha the Yeshiva, because it says sitting down. In fact, one should really sit while saying all of Berachos Kriyas Shema in order that he can purposely stand up for Shemona Esrei to show that that's the high point of the entire tefillah. The second time is during Chazaras Hashatz, which is called the Kedusha D'Amida, because there we're standing. And the third time is in Uval Tzion, where it's called the Kedusha D'Sidra. Now these two psukim are from the Nevi'im. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh comes from the Navi of Yeshaya. Baruch Kavod comes from Yecheskel. And describes what's happening in the Olam Haba, the Shmei Morom, in the physical heaven above, in the world of the Neshamos. And together with the Malachim, they express that these exalted words of praise concerning Hashem. And we really have no understanding of that world other than we know it exists. And when it comes to these details, or the Ma'aseh Merkava, it's like a person who's born sightless trying to discuss a traffic light. They have no idea what red means, what green means. Similarly, we have no conception of these spiritual creatures known as Ofanim, or Chayos, or Srafim. Now, this threefold repetition of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh can be interpreted in two ways. One is that Hashem is extolled in terms of ascending levels of sanctity. In accordance with this interpretation, the idea here is that the higher any creature elevates itself towards Hashem, the higher the conception it has of Hashem. And this is so because Hashem is totally removed from any of His creatures. He's the ultimate Kadosh. And then Moloch or its Kivodo does not mean our earth, but rather, again, it's talking about where the pronouncement is being made. The other way to understand this is in the descending order of holiness. Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch learns, like the Targum Yonason, that the first one is the highest level, the place of Hashem's presence, then He descends to our world, and lastly, He descends into what will be the future world. The Nevuah of Yecheskel mentions that there's a Kol Rash Gadol, which is L'umasam in opposition to them. And this seems to indicate that his Nevuah of Baruch Kavod is the opposite of Kadosh Kadosh, which would account for there being this great noise. And the first message of Kadosh Kadosh expresses the idea again of the total separation of Hashem from many of His creations. The underlining meaning of Kadosh is separation. As we know, the Pasuk tells us Kadoshim Tiyu, and Rashi explains that you have a prushim and a harayus and an avera. You should keep yourselves far away from immorality and from avera. So when we refer to Hashem as Kadosh, we mean that He's elevated above and removed from our power of perception. And this concept of Hashem's total separation from His creations is applicable not only to us human beings, but even to the spiritual beings, the malachim. However, the other message of Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Komo teaches the very opposite, Slumasam, that Hashem is as close as possible to His creatures. And the message of this pasuk teaches us that notwithstanding the fact that Hashem is far removed from our comprehension, the malachim sense that nevertheless He's coming closer to them. And they excitedly announce His presence by saying, Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Komo, Hashem has come from the incomprehensible, unfathomable, to a place so close to us that we sense His presence, and therefore proclaim Baruch Kavod. And this then is the meaning of that Kol Rash Gadol, that loud noise, which is made by the Ofanim and Chayis HaKodesh as they express the Baruch attribute, which is the very opposite of what the Seraphim had said. So the Ofanim and Chayis HaKodesh excitedly declare, notwithstanding the fact that Hashem is Kadosh, that He's incomprehensible and unreachable, as the Seraphim stressed, but the opposite is also true. He's also Baruch, He's very, very close to His creatures. And one may think that one's close to Himself, however, Hashem is even closer. And that's the reason why we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vod, which expresses a similar idea to Baruch Kavod, why we say it quietly. He's so close that we're able to whisper to Him. And these two contrasting nevuos, despite their apparent contradiction, coexist and should be expressed together. And in our tefillah of the Kedusha, the Yeshiva, as part of Berachos Kriyashma, we recite these nevuos and we remain sitting doing so. And we're emphasizing at this time the Baruch aspect, which expresses the thought that while saying these words with proper kavana, we become aware that Hashem comes closer to us, so close that we can hardly breathe. We're so overwhelmed with the extreme proximity of Hashem that we cannot physically even stand up. However, in the Kedusha de Amida, during the Chazaras HaShatz, at that point, we're emphasizing the other aspect of the Nevuah, that of Kadosh, that by standing up while reciting these psukim, then incomprehensible as it may be, that these two Nevuos teach us these both of these aspects. We have the Kadosh, we have the Baruch, but yet they're both true, and they equally coexist. If Shimshon Pinkus asks, he says, what's the connection between we're thanking Hashem for the light, we're going through Yotzer, and then we bring in the Shira of the Malachim of Kadosh Kadosh? So he explains that in Psukah Zimra, we were thanking Hashem for the world He created. However, in Yotzer Ar, there's the additional factor that we live in an amazing world, in a world where Hashem rests as Shechina. And what the bracha is coming to teach us is about the essence of this world. Without light, a person lives his life in darkness, he's lacking das. So Chazal and Masakin to say this bracha to teach us that Hashem created this thing called Ar, that we don't have to live our life in the dark, lacking das. With this light, we can see the depths of our world and able to reach and see what happens with Kadosh Kadosh. A person's able to walk in Hashem's world and not lend his heart or his eyes to his surroundings. Every rock calls out, every bird sings, everything around us is saying this powerful Shira, and we can walk like a blind and deaf person. We don't see or hear what's going on around us. And yet what they are saying is they're singing Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod. The Malachim themselves are singing. And where do we hear their Shira? Everywhere we find ourselves throughout the day. That's the R that we're thanking Hashem in this bracha not to live our life in darkness. In the Maaseh Merkava, that Yechezkel Navi brings, he says, Ve'era k'ein chashmal. And the Gemara tells us, chashmal consists of two words, of chash and mal. There are times that the malachim are quiet from the word of chash, and there are times that they speak from the word of mal. And the Gra Lamaisa holds that during Chazar Sashatz, one's not supposed to answer Baruch Hu V'Aruch Shemo to the brachos of the chazin for that very reason, that we're supposed to be chash, we're supposed to be the quiet ones, while the chazin says the bracha, while the chazin is mal, while he's speaking. And there are therefore two types of shira. There's the type of shira of speech and the type of shira of silence. And in Chazar Sashatz, in that fashion, we're able to get both types. The Rebbe of Rizin used to have the minig at his tish that he would not speak at all during the tish. And one time someone came in and asked the guy who cleaned up after the tish, you know, what goes on here? And he said, there's a long table that the chassidim sit around, and at the head is the Rebbe. He sits quietly, and they all listen. One needs ears to be able to hear such a shira. So Pesukah D'Zimra is the shira through speech. But now, we're in the world of the Kisei HaKavod, the shira is now done through silence. And our whole life is full of shira. When we daven, when we learn, that's the shira of speech. And when we're able to stand in line, as Pinchas says, and in a supermarket, and we turn away from the magazines or any other Aveira that comes to us, a juicy conversation of Lashon Hara, these are all a Shira of silence. And if one cannot sing both Shiros, then he doesn't know how to sing any of them. And he brings the marshal, he says, when one writes on a piece of paper, the empty spaces on the paper is part of that writing. Because without the empty space, one cannot tell the letters. And if you take a black sheet of paper and write black on it, you're really not going to be able to see anything. It's only that I have the empty space with the writing, so I'm able to now see the letters that were formed. And he says the same thing is with the Shiras. If one cannot sing Shira in all situations, both the Shira of speech and the Shira of silence, then the Shira does not really exist. He doesn't really have it. And in order for the person, when a person reaches that level of knowing when he can be quiet and being able to sing that Shira, then he's able to say the Kadosh Kadosh, and it's here that he's silent, and everyone then will listen. Now we'll end with a story, and then with the homework. So it was the year of 1989, and the Ukrainian city of Lvov was having their first Rosh Hashanah after many, many years, as the Soviet Union had fallen apart. And the chazan was someone, Reb Eli Mintz from Muncie, New York, who, when he heard about this ability to daven there, you know, signed up for this. But obviously understanding that it was years and years since the last Rosh Hashanah there, he went to the Bava Rebbe for advice. And the Bava Rebbe, you know, spoke with him and told him how, yes, it's a very, you know, it's a very big mission. And as they stood there, so Rosh Hashanah came, and he stood before this crowd. And he realized that many people here are not going to be able to daven as they weren't allowed to learn Hebrew. And most people probably didn't remember from 70 years ago. So he told him a story. And he said that there was a time in Berdichev where the Jews were having a lot of great difficulties. There were pogroms, heavy taxes, many dangers. And on a morning prior to Yom Kippur, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev spoke, and he asked everyone to prepare for Kol Nidre for that night by coming to shul and davening from the deepest recesses of their heart, that Hashem should abolish all these troubles. And that night, everyone was there, and they poured into the shul. And there was, you heard the crying through the tefillos. And amongst the crowd, there was an uneducated wagon driver whose heart cried out, as did the others, but whose lips were incapable, as he did not even know the simplest words of tefillah. He had never learned, and on that night, he cried with frustration, his inability to express the longings of his soul. Finally, unable to contain himself, he turned to Hashem and pleaded, Master of the universe, you know I don't know how to daven. All I know is the Aleph Beis, which my father taught me. Please take the letters of the Aleph Beis and turn them into the right words. And he started to recite out loud, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. people around him were wondering what he's doing, saying Aleph Beis at this moment. But when the tefillah was over, the Radichever Rebbe told everyone that in merit of the wagon driver's Aleph Beis, the decree had been canceled. By the time Rebelli finished the story, every eye in the shul was turned to him. He raised his voice and pleaded. He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, many of you came today do not know how to daven, and it's not your fault. Daven whatever you can. Say Shema Yisrael, say Ani Mamim, and if you can't, then just say the Aleph Beis." Next to Rebelli stood a frail old Jew dressed in a well-woolen suit. His face betrayed no emotion as he listened to the impassioned speech, but now there were tears running down his drawn nut-brown cheeks. In Yiddish, he said to Rebelli, "I want to say the Aleph Beis. I want to, but even that I do not know." And with that pain proclamation, Rebelli suddenly realized how deprived spiritually these people were. And he said, "Let's do it together. Repeat after me." And he said Aleph, and the hundred of souls there gathered together and cried out Aleph. And they went through Beis and Gimel all the way to Yud. Each letter fanned the roaring frames of their suddenly ignited souls, and the sound carried them higher and higher. And he knew there was still more. So he said, "Let's start over. Let's do it even louder." And by this time, the emotion in the room was a riptide that left no one standing where he or she had started. People sobbed with emotion, crying like children, whose only desire was to once again be held in their father's embrace. And now, after they finished the Aleph Beis, Rebelli then said, "Now I'm going to daven in the customary way," and he led the tefillah in the normal way. And since that point, the minig in Lvov actually is to start the Rosh Hashanah davening with the Aleph Beis to remember that moment. But as we know with any tefillah, that when a person reaches in, whether it's with the words, whether it's just with letters, whatever we can get to, those are the tefillahs that are most beloved by Hashem. And obviously the homework is the rest of the bracha up to Lekel Baruch Ne'imos, you know, where we're up to be able to at least once in the week focus on it and say it, you know, with some of what we've gone through.